12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins on the line with us this morning and with us every Tuesday throughout the course of the legislative sessions, which have got about 6 weeks remaining in them. A lot of activities happening these days, and today more than anything, we'll be talking about the budget process with Senator Hawkins, as we'll sort of compartmentalize each of the three budgets that are rolled out in the state and discussed about this time every legislative session, find out where we're at in that process right now. Also, if time permits, we'll talk about some of Senator Hawkins' bills that are getting hearings in the House right now, as again, bills have crossed between chambers over the course of the last week or so. And Brad, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Good morning, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's talk and jump right into the budget process here. It's time, I guess, to really focus on this. Not that legislators haven't been drafting some budget proposals already, but now is really the time when that shifts into high gear again after most of the business in both chambers is passed out and goes to the respective chambers for consideration there. So we'll jump in and kind of give an overview, I guess, of where things are at from your perspective and the Senate's perspective on each of those. And let's start with the operating budget.
Yeah, so it is a critical time with the budgets. Basically, what happens is we work on all these policy bills early on, and then the budget writers are getting to get a sense of how much revenue we have, what some of the spending priorities are, what some of the legislative issues will be, and they start developing those budgets. And then after this major cutoff, the budget proposals start to be released. And the operating budget proposal is going to be released, I believe, later this month on the 25th. And basically, that's the big budget currently for the current biennium that we're almost done with. It's a $54 billion two-year budget. We suspect that this budget proposal will be something more than that, but it funds the day-to-day operations of state government. Half of the operating budget is dedicated to K-12 education. Then we have natural resources, human services, a small amount for debt service, state agencies, and then Medicaid and other programs. And it'll be really interesting to see this year how what the proposals are for the operating budget because of the federal stimulus dollars. You know, those federal stimulus dollars come through the states, and based on how some of them were drafted, a certain amount of those federal stimulus dollars can be retained by the state and then utilized as part of its budget, sometimes for the same purposes, but still it gives the budget writers a little more flexibility. And as we talked about early in the session, it was interesting because of the COVID pandemic, the revenues were down, but they weren't down as significantly as what was once feared. And we also, in addition to some of these federal dollars, we have $2 billion in a rainy day fund that is available to the budget writers. So when we put it all together, it'll be interesting to see what is proposed. Although there are other new revenues as well. The Senate approved a capital gains income tax and some other revenues. So there could be new revenues beyond the federal dollars and the rainy day fund.
And Brad, it's our understanding that the money that comes in from the federal government for these aid packages isn't specifically allocated to any portions of the state's budget. So this is something that really has to kind of be identified sort of piece by piece based on what does come to the states at the state level in order to figure out where to plug it into the budget. So it's quite a time-consuming process.
Yeah, and there have been some discussion about just exactly how we're going to handle the federal stimulus dollars, especially this most recent round from President Biden that has not been transferred to the states yet. The prior package, or one of the prior packages, I kind of lose track of how many, but it was, I think, the CARES Act, the Coronavirus Relief Economy Act, or whatever it stands for, we were able to retain a certain amount of those funds. I think it was upwards of 10%. And I think that's a good thing because, you know, so much of these dollars are being pushed out, and it is important to help. But, you know, holding back some of those funds and then reauthorizing those at a little bit later time can actually help the economy a little more intentionally. Now, with this most recent federal package. It's a bunch of money, and it's not entirely sure how much flexibility the states have. Most of it is just going to be essentially flow through dollars to local governments and healthcare providers and schools, but there is going to be a fair amount that the state will be able to utilize, but then figuring out within the rules that Congress set up for those funds, exactly how we're allowed to utilize them is important. And so it could either delay the rollout of the budget proposals, or more likely be included as part of the budget rollout, but there could be what's called a trailer bill to the budget, which is another supplemental piece of legislation that would actually spend those additional federal dollars. So it will be interesting. In fact, there's actually been a little bit of talk about, oops, will this federal stimulus dollars actually slow down the legislative session, and could it potentially cause a special session? And that was once feared, but we don't think that's the case.
Talking with 12th District State Senator Brad Hawkins on this morning's Coho Morning Show. Brad joins us every week on Tuesday here on the program about what's going on in the State Senate during the legislative session. So, Brad, as we continue our discussion about the budgets today, let's move on to the transportation budgets. This is one that always, I guess, creates a bit of consternation between some of even your own constituents, if not between the houses, and certainly across the aisle from each other. We spend a lot of money on transportation here in the state. So what are things like this year?
Well, it's interesting. This year has been more interesting than most, because I think a lot of the transportation advocates looked at this particular session months ago or years ago as the session that big things are going to happen for transportation. Major investments are going to be secured. Well, with the coronavirus and the fact that it's basically this hybrid virtual session, it's really difficult to put together large-scale packages that involve new revenues and a lot of negotiation amongst legislators in their particular districts. The way the transportation budget works is it's a two-year budget also. It's a much smaller budget. It's about a $10 billion two-year budget as opposed to what could be a $55 or $58 billion, whatever this operating budget proposal will end up being. And the transportation budget funds the operations of the State Patrol, the Department of Licensing, the DOT, but it also appropriates funding in that particular biennium for major transportation projects that were approved in larger packages that involved gas taxes and other fees. If we want to do more for additional projects, whether it's in our district or in Western Washington or a bridge in Southwest Washington across the Columbia River, the state is going to need more revenue to do that. Everybody wants a high-functioning transportation system, but the reality is most people, and in fairness, including me, don't really want to pay the high cost of it. What I would like to do is actually drive the cost down of some of the projects, streamline some of the permitting, allow the public tax dollars to go a little bit further. But there have been some major discussions this year and some major proposals. And for example, in the Senate for the expanded transportation budget, there was a proposal that included $225 million of projects in our area, including that bridge across the Wenatchee River, the Confluence Parkway project, which I believe is approximately a $130 million project just on its own, which I support. But do the people of the 12th District at this time want to also support a 10-cent gas tax and a carbon fee in addition to that and some other expanded fees on electric vehicles? You know, I don't think so. So it's been very interesting. But if it doesn't get done this year, it'll have to get done at some point, and probably the projects are just getting more expensive. So it is a challenging situation on transportation. But normally, when we do come together, it is a bipartisan effort. So that's what I'm hoping. Probably not this year, but maybe someday in the future.
All right, Brad, very good. Let's move on and talk about the capital budget next. Where are things at as far as it is concerned for this session?
Well, the capital budget is the third budget. It's not in any way insignificant, but it is the smallest of the three. It's about a $5 billion two-year budget. It funds primarily infrastructure, recreation opportunities, land acquisitions, school construction assistance. So when the school districts approve their bonds for their buildings, if they reach that 60% threshold, they get a matching fund. They get matching funds from the state through this school construction assistance program. We also fund through the state capital budget major building investments at our higher education institutions as well as our community and technical colleges. So, for example, the Wells Hall at Wenatchee Valley College that is being constructed right now was something that was secured in the capital budget. Fortunately, that's coming along nicely. The capital budget proposals will be released as well in the House and in the Senate. And I'm working on some projects for that budget, and we'll see when those capital budget proposals get released whether we're successful again this year at securing funds for the 12th district. Fortunately, Representative Steele has a major role in the House for the capital budget, so he's very involved in that. And he, Representative Gaynor, and I kind of strategize together about how we can leverage our influence in both chambers for the capital budget. And we do lean on Representative Steele quite a bit for that. And what happens is each of these three budget proposals, the operating, the transportation, and the Senate, are going to have a Senate proposal and a House proposal, and there's the governor's proposal as well. But in the end, all three chambers need to agree. Both chambers, House and Senate, as well as the governor's office, all three parties need to agree on one agreed-upon budget in order for that to become law. And hopefully we can do all that between when the budgets get released this month and the end of the session next month. So it's kind of a sprint to the finish.
All right, well, we'll be with you during the sprint, and we find out a little bit more information as we head forward down the home stretch of the legislative sessions for 2021. Brad, real quickly, I know that the bills that have been introduced and made it out of both chambers have crossed over, so Senate bills are now being heard in the House and vice versa, and I understand that you've been pretty active as far as some of your own legislations concerned in the other chamber of recent.
Yeah, we had three hearings last week and then yesterday morning, three different hearings on my bills. The tow truck operator bill that was before the House Transportation Committee, the utility wildfire bill that was before the House Ag and Natural Resources Committee, and just yesterday, the hydrogen vehicles bill was heard before the House Finance Committee. And in each case, we had locals testify. We had Randy Houston, who is a tow truck operator, small business owner from our district, testify in the Transportation Committee. Steve Wright of Chelan PUD did an excellent job testifying before the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. And then yesterday, representatives from Douglas County PUD testified at the House Finance Committee. And I'm hoping all of those bills will get advanced through their committees. There might be amendments, so I'm working with some of the members on those committees there. And hopefully we can get those to the full House of Representatives for a vote. But having three different bills, and I'm involved in the budgets and education committee and all these sort of things, I have a lot of pots on the burner, but so far I'm hanging in there and I'm trying to keep my head above water too. So hopefully good news in the weeks ahead.
Well, and finding some time to talk to us about all those pots every week as well. So we appreciate that very much, Brad. Until the next go around, stay safe and we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds great, Chris. Good to talk to you.